Grace and peace to you in the name of the one with whom we walk in blessing and in loss. So, does a life of faith promise health, wealth, beauty, and success? Those who preach the prosperity gospel assure us that it does, or that it will. If we follow, if we have faith, good things will befall us. We will get the job or the house we want. We will not get cancer. Our children will survive and thrive, or we will be guaranteed children. We will always be right and rich and better looking than the people around us. We will succeed at most things. I will venture a guess that though many of us see the fault in this prosperity gospel, there are certain times that we fall into the trap of it. If I am honest, I at times do. I may feel that I deserve the good that has come my way because I have followed faithfully. Somehow during less mature moments of faith, I can believe that God is responsible for my good health, good schooling, protection during storms, or whatever else. Today's scriptural readings explore what a walk of faith entails. You may not be surprised that both flourishing and risk or sacrifice are part of this walk. Our lives at different times testify to this, and so does Scripture. In the Genesis passage read today, there are two promised things of the covenant that God makes with Abraham and Sarah: land and descendants. The human journey with God in this tradition of faith begins in this way, with a promised land and promised descendants. This may sound like prosperity gospel if we didn't know the long hardship that follows. Yet there is still something of promised goodness or flourishing or a kind of wealth in it. Thousands of years later, the promise the Son of Man gives to his disciples in the walk of faith is sacrifice and loss. It is the denial of oneself and the loss or risk of one's life. The work of genuine healing can require risk and sacrifice. So, which exactly does the walk of faith entail? Both flourishing and loss, or the threat to one's life, both risk and gift. Our journeying with God leads to life abundant and hardship, risk, and loss. The covenantal promise to Abraham and Sarah threads through disappointment, exile, expectation, hope, judgment, and return. And the journey of the disciples led through hope, healing, forgiveness, deep care, and execution. If there is no guarantee of a better or risk and loss-free life from the walk of faith, why choose for it? Why make the faith journey at all? So this has been Black History Month, and TBS has been running a documentary of the Black Church based on Henry Louis Gates Jr.'s book of the same name. Most of the documentary details the unfolding of the Baptist and AME churches led by people who were enslaved. But there were also in the midst a small number of African American Lutheran churches. To be sure, the history of the Lutheran Church or churches in America is no proud story of abolition. It was shamefully all over the place when it came to a stance on slavery. And today, the ELCA is still one of the whitest denominations in the country. Acknowledging this, those who walk their journey of faith in the Lutheran Church, in spite of indifference, deep segregation, or violence, is a story of persisting in faith, regardless of outcome. It is a story of a people who are drawn in by certain rituals like baptism, and shaped a resistant church to their spiritual needs. There were many struggles, and there were some successes. And here is one of these stories. In 1832, European American Lutherans began ordaining African Americans. Jehu Jones was the first black man ordained in the Lutheran Church. His journey in the church began at St. John's Lutheran Church in Charleston, South Carolina. The church was segregated. White Lutherans and black Lutherans worshipped separately. But notably, the black Lutherans at St. John's became the first group of American Lutherans, black or white, to send an American missionary to Africa. But what stirred this milestone may have been the backlash, actually, to the Denmark Vesey and Nat Turner rebellions. Because of that backlash, around 146 Americans of African descent left the city of Charleston for Liberia. As much the spirit of evangelization, the black Lutherans of St. John may have sent some to Africa to pave the way for their safety and their freedom. Jehu Jones, though up for this missionary call, was not chosen for it. Still, he persisted in his call to ordination. However, he could not be ordained for Lutheran ministry in South Carolina because of the color of his skin. He was directed to New York and went there. After following through with this step, he returned to South Carolina. But the law did not allow him to stay. The law prohibited freed African Americans from returning after they left. So Jehu Jones and his family moved to Philadelphia to begin an all-black Lutheran church there, to be freed of the control of white Lutherans. Working in his trade as a tailor, he used his additional time and energy toward creating St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Philadelphia. The church struggled for just 3 years before it finally closed. While the church was failing amidst rising debt, Jones wrote this: "The debts of the church are still due, and I have nobody as yet to second my humble efforts to obtain aid. Notwithstanding, I struggle hard and I cry aloud. We have uphill work of it. I have been cast down for nearly a year, but am not discomfited. I believe God is on our side." Jones tried another church plant after this in New York, and this one too failed. Jones' story is part of the wrestling of a life out of the scars and wounds of the evil institution of slavery, and a church that did not do much to help. These are wrestlings that still exist overtly and insidious ways. His story is also the witness of persisting in faith, regardless of outcome. If there is no guarantee of a better or risk and loss-free life from the walk of faith, why choose for it? Why make the journey at all? In the Genesis reading today, I think it is interesting that accompanying the covenantal promise is the action of walking. The author of Genesis has God saying to Abraham, "I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless." The same is true chapters earlier with Noah. Accompanying his blamelessness was his walking. Genesis 6 reads, "Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God." It seems to me that somehow the covenant accompanies the walking, not the outcome. The walk of faith isn't chosen to make for a better or happier life. Faithful people carry struggles and scars. We experience heartache, broken relationships, ill health, tragedy, and losses of all kinds. Bad things happen to good and faithful people. But perhaps it is faith that often keeps us walking. There is, it seems, a promise and presence in the walking itself. And the words of James Weldon Johnson's famous hymn testify to this. Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days one hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary feet come to the place for which our fathers died. We have come over a way that with tears has been watered. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on the way, thou who hast by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we meet thee. Lest our hearts drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land. And their faith was credited to them as righteousness. Amen. Join us for our hymn of the day.